As Pasifika, we know one of the single greatest moments of honouring and remembering our loved ones who have passed away is the unveiling of their headstone. A new social enterprise called Lifestone Memorials is making headstones even more special. The brainchild of Dane and Susanna Guttenbeel, Lifestone Memorial sources its materials 100% locally and even adds a touch of technology to headstones. Dane and Susanna are with me now in studio. Whakarofalahi atu, malolele, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Malolele.
Good, good, good. Firstly, shall we get a bit of village or island representation from yourselves, whereabouts are we hailing from, please, ladies first?
So my mum is from Awala in the beautiful village of Sabai, Samoa, and my father, who's also part Samoan, has Faleasiu and Maliu on his Samoan side, and the beautiful village of Hakupu in Niue Island.
And for yourself, Mr. Guttenbeel?
We're from the lovely north, Ngāpui, New Zealand, and we're also from Vava'u in Tonga. We do have roots to Samoa as well, but most Guttenbeels, we talk more about the Tongan side.
Dankeschön. Thank you so much. Good, good, good. Now, I believe the business venture stemmed from a personal experience. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, so in 2016, 3 years ago, my father passed away in March. And so that was hard because he was a Presbyterian minister and lived a very full life. And we found going to the cemetery or to his gravesite quite sort of an empty experience because you're just staring at a pile of dirt when I knew that he lived such a full life. And so we were kind of looking at ways of how can we make this experience for us better. So we were kind of coming up with ideas of what can we put at the cemetery that we can look at or kind of have a remembrance to. And so it started becoming a bit of a project for myself personally. We were building things from Bunnings, but at the same time during that year we lost 7 other of our family members, so we felt like we were going through it over and over and over again.
Including our daughter, you know.
Yeah, so we lost our baby girl at 20 weeks later that year as well. So it was just kind of, it grew out of an experience where we were like, there has to be more than waiting for that 12-month period. And for some families, it's even longer. So we just thought, how can we just improve this?
Mm-hmm. Mm. In terms of the headstones, and we were talking about the experience and what Lifestone Memorials offers, can you tell us more about that, please?
Yeah, well, last year I lost my brother Jason, and you know, he was a big part of our life, pillar stone really, and I got to be his wingman for his last year of life. And one of the things that we were really conscious of with Jace was how do we leave a bit of his voice and his wisdom for his children as they grow up, you know, his youngest being 5 at the time. And also just in general, just he's such a great man, that how do we keep his wisdom alive? You know, and for me, being a half-caste Maori, Tongan, German, you know, it's also that thing of how important it would have been if I could have talked to my great-grandparents, my great-great-grandparents. We're first-generation New Zealanders, our parents both born in the islands. Of what does it mean, you know? So looking backwards and looking forwards, we wanted to go, well, how do we introduce the opportunity to families to capture that voice, to capture our reflections of our loved ones, and make it accessible directly from headstones and cemeteries and urupa for future generations. So it was important we did that. And then the other side of it was when we got our headstone for our daughter and son as dad, we buried them together. You know, we saw this very expensive stone be ready for us, carved and all that sort of a thing. And so when we were told to come down and see it, we watched it get brought off the back of a container, you know, and I was quite shocked. I was like, well, hang on, whose hands just carved this stone? We're Pacific people. And the whole thing came from India, and, you know, all props to that, but it's not us. So we went down a long journey of going, look, we've got to make our memorials from our own land, from our own whenua, being Māori, and, you know, our Pacific people too, of going, well, we're people of the Pacific. We should memorialise from the Pacific and from our own land as well.
Mm. So when we're talking about 100%, you know, locally sourced, can you talk to me on, you know, some of the materials that you do use?
We can't tell you all of the materials because we are going to patent this. It's very important. The lawyers have said you can't talk about anything like that. It's been 2.5 years in the making. So we haven't just done this overnight. It's taken a long time. We really, what we want to be able to do is provide headstone masons, headstone retailers with a domestic option, and really lower the carbon footprint. If you can imagine all of these pieces of stone carved out of quarries in China and India and shipped over here, we don't even use a plastic bag in the supermarket now, yet we're creating all this carbon by commemorating our departed. So in a way, we're killing our planet to commemorate our dead. Doesn't make sense.
Shucks, now that you can, I see what you mean. When we're talking about headstones, generally, what are the prices we're looking at? When my dad passed away in 2009, I think it was like upwards of between 5,000 and 10,000.
Well, I was talking to a mason last week about, kind of pricing, and we're seeing memorials for our Pacific families at around $25,000. We should be living in that if it's that expensive. So we look to provide a cost-effective, basically something that we can protect our planet and protect our people as well.
Technology as well, how do you implement technology in without breaching any patents?
That's right, technology's fine.
Yes. Technology, yes.
Yeah, so like Dane said, it was basically if we could speak to our great-great-grandparents or even hear their voice or just understand a little bit about why they did the things they did, we thought, well, the best way of capturing that is through technology. So we created the codes so that you can upload photos, stories, music, videos, or just, even little Snapchat vines of just their laughter or just something that you can remember them by, but not just for this generation, for a couple of generations to come. Because I think some of the biggest issues is like, we want to know why our families came to New Zealand or, sort of going a few generations back of why they did the things they did. So we're starting with our generation. We can now start to do that so that in 100 years from now, they'll be like, well, I wonder why my dad started Lifestone. And now with his code, they'll be able to find out more information.
Hmm. So wait, can I get a bit of clarification? So when you're talking about code, is it like, what, you go the headstone and say, you hear audio or video comes up on the actual headstone?
Right. So, we've created an app.
Yes, put it there.
We've got a Lifestone app on the App Store, so Apple and Android, Google. You can download that. That's for free, and you can start creating a legacy or a profile for anyone living or dead. And then once you're ready to put it on a headstone, we can send you a code. There is a cost for that. Or you can have the code inclusive on a marker, if you like.
And so we Jace was such a big part of our life. And being Māori, you can use something like a QR code for it's a similar thing. But being tapu, being tikanga Māori, tikanga Pacific has been really important to us so that the process is sacred. We don't use something that's on a packet of chips or that you can scan a scooter. It had to really be important for us that it has to be tikanga, it has to be kaupapa Māori, kaupapa Pacifica. And then as we go around and hopefully, we're successful and go around the world, then it becomes something that we as Pacific and Māori people are taking to the world.
A social enterprise, I understand, as well. Another way that you're helping through Lifestone memorials.
Yeah. Son and I, we've worked in this space for a long time. I mean, my last 6 years, I've been in community development, working with Māori and Pacific enterprises. So, we always wanted this to be something that returns its profit back to its purpose. And our purpose really is the elimination of poverty and inequality through enterprise. So how do we support other entrepreneurs and how do we support other crazy ideas like shooting balloons into the sky that cast down Wi-Fi? There's all these crazy ideas out there. But of course, you need to generate some money to do it. We can't depend on government for grants all of the time. We need to look at how do we create our own income and then how do we use that income to help our people even more.
What's been the feedback from some of your clients to date?
Well, we've had some quite sad stories, actually. A lot of people have come to us about their stories of still paying off headstones 5 years later. Often people are asking us for headstones for young children who have passed or families who have loved ones buried and 8 to 10 years later they still can't afford a headstone. So We're seeing a range of things, but, you know, it actually just keeps motivating us because this is why we've done it. Mm.
And, of course, for our listeners and viewers online, where can we go to find out more about Lifestone Memorials, please?
You just go to www.lifestone.co.nz. The Facebook's Lifestone New Zealand. So those are the best places to go and just get a general feel for what we're doing. If you like what you're seeing, what you hear, then, you know, Sona and I are on the other end of the phone. Just give us a call. We're here to learn too. We don't come in here going, look, we know everything. I mean, we want to work with the existing infrastructure. We don't want to replace it, but we want to serve our communities more than we serve anyone with a profit kind of approach to things. So we're very humble in what we're doing. And Son is right, you know, every time we hear a story, we relive our own. It's very much a journey of passion and a journey of helping people through grief more than it is selling a stone or a memorial or a code. It's really about how do we support each other through, you know, the hardest times in life, and celebrate the awesomeness of those who we loved.